Well, good evening. Great to gather together with you. We embark tonight on a series throughout this summer that's going to hopefully help all of us just grow in knowing God better and all that He has for us. We're going to be diving into the attributes of God, we've called the series. Now, of course, we can't cover all the attributes of God given the number of Wednesdays we have, but the Lord has led us to select some that we're going to be focusing on, so we invite you in the weeks ahead to join in with us and do just that. And there's so much that's possible in all this, but God has set it up, and we're excited to see what's going to do about it. You know, when it comes to considering the attributes of God, and by the way, it'll be myself, and there'll be others sharing too, but I know for me, and like I sat down just to get ready for tonight we're doing an introduction. It's kind of an overview, an introduction of sorts, and then next week we'll actually begin to focus on some of the actual specific attributes of God. But I really found myself, Justin, where do you begin? Where do you begin when it comes to thinking about and talking about and discussing the character, the nature, the attributes of God? It's a topic that if you just begin to slow down and be still and study and listen and think about it, you soon realize it's immense. And we'll spend a whole lifetime exploring the character and nature and attributes of God and never exhausted, of course. And so I don't know what the analogy would be, but I know it's just, there's a lot. And so, yet the awesome thing is, and I invite you to do this, He wants us to, and if we will dive into it by the end of the summer, I trust that all of us will hopefully arrive and just saying we know Him better for it, that we've grown in understanding and applying these attributes and all. And so I realize it's immense, we also recognize that He calls us to do it. He invites us, and we'll see more about that in just a moment. And not only is it our calling to do so, but it's our joy. It's our joy to do so. And we'll talk about more about what it means to know and discover the character and the nature of God and all. Anyway, let's pray. Father, as we embark now upon these gatherings throughout the summer, as we now just kind of delve into considering Your attributes, Lord, we bow before You. Because we realize we are kind of embarking upon such an immense open area. And yet, Lord, we thank You because You call us to it. You desire us to do this. You want to show Yourself, reveal Yourself to us. You want us to know us, to know You in all these ways. So we're just in awe of that. And Lord, I'm just praying that help all of us not to come short of all You'd have for us. That truly we would let You work these things in such a way that we would grow and be changed by it all. So Lord, we just as a family together here, we look to You now and pray that it would be just an awesome summer of knowing You better. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, fairly well-known portion of Scripture. But Jeremiah chapter 9, going to begin by looking at verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, starting at verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows Me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. How many here, and you can just raise your hand, how many here know of President Obama? You know of him. Okay? Most of you know the president of our country. It was not a trick, I'm not going to trick you on this, but you know of Fred Obama. How about this? How many of us, and probably most, if not all of us, would raise our hands if I ask how many of us know some things about President Obama? Probably mostly I know some things about him. His wife's name is Michelle. He's got a couple of daughters. We could say we know some things about him. So we know of him, and we know about him. But what if I ask you, let me ask you, I'd like a show of hands. How many of you would raise your hand and be able to say, well, I know him. I actually know him. You call him up first name basis. You know all about it. Oh, good to hear from you. Come on over. Let's go hang out. I know he has opened his heart to me. He shared things with me. I know about his struggles and all or whatever. I don't see any hands going up. And it's an obvious point, but I just want to jump in right there. To know of someone or to know about someone is not the same as knowing them. You notice in Jeremiah 9 here, we are to glory in something. Verse 24, let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, not knows of me, not knows about me, not someone who all of our studies and biblical digging in and discussions and debates have led us to intellectually know about him. That's not what it says. But instead, glory in this, that you know me. There's a lot of difference. A lot of people out there could say, well, I know some things about God. But he says, no, it's not. That's not the place he wants us to be at. But I want you to know me. Look at these things that mentions here. The strength of each one, the wise man, don't glory in your wisdom. The strength that you have, your best strength, your best card, the thing that the trump card you play when the chips are down, your wisdom, don't glory that you're wise. Well, but I'm strong. I'm mighty. Don't you glory that the fact that you can play a trump card that you're stronger than others, you think, or that you're mighty? What about the rich man? I mean, this world, these three things are what the world tells you should be about: power and might and riches. But don't glory in your riches. Don't lean on that. Don't look on these things. They're not your refuge. They're not your answer. Instead, this is it, that you know me. And again, don't settle for knowing about me, that you know me. And that's one of the reasons why we study, and hopefully it means heart apply, that we seek to know God's attributes. His attributes are set forward, and again, we'll hit that more in just a few moments, I hope, here, but they're set forward for the purpose of not just knowing about him, not for us to intellectually discuss and knock around and everything, debate him, but that we might enter into the experience of those things. These attributes might actually be something we experience, because that's why he extends them to us. That's why he makes them known to us. Commentator by the name of A.W. Pink, he's written a book on the attributes of God. But he declares, to know and grow in our knowledge of God is our greatest need. We might think we have all these other needs. Oh, I need more money. I need this. I need that. No. In God's economy, in God's way, when he looks at us, he says, here's your greatest need. It's to know me. Now, let's go back to the example of President Obama for a moment, but you can use anybody. But let's say, you know what, I don't really know him, but I want to. I'd like to know him. So let's say you take it upon yourself, I'm going to really actually know him. Not about it, but I want to get to know him. I'm going to know him. Good luck with that one. Walk up to the White House. Hey, Barack, come on out. Let's hang out. Ain't going to happen. They're going to either throw you out or lock you up. But it's not going to happen. Why? Because he doesn't want to be known by you. But God wants to be known by you. Think about that. I can't get to know. See, I can only get to know somebody if they let me get to know them. I can say, I want to be your best bud. But if you don't open up, you never share with me, we don't hang out, then that's not going to happen. It's dependent upon the one being known if he's going to open up. So think about that. I can't know the present. I don't know that I want to, but if you can cut that out of the recording. But when it comes to God, here's Kathy's going, why did you go? I had to, no. Okay, but the point being is, but God wants me. He invites me to know him. And think about that. It all depends upon the one that we seek to know. Well, do they want us to? And that's the thing that's so awesome. God wants me to. God wants you to not just know of him, but to actually experientially know him. Gnosko, experientially know him. Now, we cannot take all of God in. But though we cannot take all of God in, he invites us to explore him, so to speak, to know him better today than yesterday and better tomorrow than today, to grow in knowing him. And he wants that to take place. And again, not just to know about him, but to know him. It's kind of like an invitation to go dive in the ocean. The invitation is to, let's say you want to know about more about the ocean. I don't know if you like the ocean or not. I'm married to someone who loves the ocean. Kathy is a beach bug, and she loves the ocean. So whether you do or not, but let's say you want to know more about the ocean. Well, you can stand on the shore forever and look at it. You know a little bit about it. But only as you dive in and begin to explore it, we begin to really explore the ocean. And that's the idea here. God says, don't stand on the shore. Don't stand at a distance. But come dive into me. And that's the awesome thing. It's not a... He doesn't say if you're smart enough or rich enough, you know. No. Just as I am. He invites me. Dive in. And begin to explore. In this case, explore the ocean. Just last night, Kathy and I, we were kind of vegging out, trying to gear down for the evening, and there was a program on about the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, on the shore of Australia out there, down there. And so we were kind of watching this program about all the things going on out there on the reef and under the water. And more than once, I know we found ourselves going, wow. Especially Kathy, she really loves the ocean. But I entered into some of that. But some of these things they were showing us are just the different creatures down there and how they go about doing what they do and just all the different things that happen. Just we so many, would you see that? Look at that. And that's the idea. We should get excited about this. Hey, you know what he showed me? You know what I learned? Oh, yeah, well, look at that. And it'll come out. It'll just be there and come out. And again, like the ocean, we will never exhaust exploring all that God is. But what an awesome thing that we get to grow in knowing God. If you're feeling bored, feeling kind of dry, gee, nothing really happening, then I would encourage you to stop back and say, wait a minute, have I stopped diving in? Have I stopped swimming around? Have I stopped exploring how immense God is? If you kind of just sat down on the shore and said, well, I've seen this before. There's so much for us here. So I just pray that these coming weeks will help us to do just that, to grow in knowing the Lord. Why is it a good thing? Why is it good to study the attributes of God? Why should you come here on these Wednesday nights where we're doing this? Why is it good in general to do that? Because we need to know God as he reveals himself to be. Not who we think he is, not who maybe others have told us he is, not what different, there's so many opinions of God and what he's like and all. But it's important that we don't stop at just what we think he is or who others think he is or what he's like. The key is, who does God say he is? What does God say he's like? Probably the two biggest things that have helped me in my journey over the years with the Lord is, first of all, just this whole journey of discovering and knowing God as he is. I had so many preconceived notions about God and things I thought how God worked, things I've heard and read and thought and everything else. But it's only when I started going to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and Chuck was just began to teach through the Word that I began to learn that God is good, that He's for me, that we can know God. That don't have to be distant. And I remember it just revolutionized our spiritual lives. Up until then, churches and all had been very formal and distant, at least our experience. And yet, here we have God, but we learn, no, God is, we can know Him personally. And of course, the second thing is part of that was just and knowing who we are in Him. Discovering what He said. Not what I think about me, not what my past has said about me, not all these other things, what others might say about me. What does God say? So what is who God is and who I am in Him. So important. And only to be found right here, etc. But that's why it's important to study the attributes of God. Look at Isaiah. You're in Jeremiah. Turn left over to Isaiah chapter 55 for a moment. Again, another well-known verses, but just turn left there a little bit. Go to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Just a good reminder in our introduction time tonight. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A study of the attributes of God, and not just an intellectual study, but a heart hunger for a receiving of, a swimming around and soaking in the attributes of God will move us from, see where it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts? A heart experience encounter with God and His attributes and all will move us from the your thoughts category to the my thoughts category. Follow what I'm saying? He's saying, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Things aren't the way you think they are. My ways aren't your ways. My ways are a whole lot higher than yours. And so we have to learn that. How are we going to learn that? As we study God, get to know God in particular in this time, understand, really delve into and experience His attributes. It will help us learn, see, help us move from our thoughts of God to His declarations about Himself. So many people believe in a God that they've made. And you'll hear that sometimes. And sometimes, unfortunately, from pulpits or in books or different things you'll see or read or whatever, they'll be talking about it. And you probably had that experience, but sometimes I look at it and I actually have had the experience sometimes of hearing somebody, for example, talk about Jesus or something. And well, after a few minutes, I start inside, I have this feeling like, you know what, you don't get to do that. I want to go up there and say, you know, you don't get to do that. Because that's a Jesus you've totally made up. And people are going to believe you. You know, and it's just, maybe they've been deceived, they're deceiving others now, but so important that our view of God be on what He declares and not just what we think. See, I wonder how often we don't trust the Lord or lean on Him like we should. And I wonder how often that is because we don't know Him as He invites us to. See, our limited take on Him causes us to hold back maybe, or our view limits our trust, our faith sometimes. But as we get to know His attributes, it opens up to us like, oh, okay, now I'm getting an idea of what's available here, what He wants me to know and experience. We think of Him in our view, and then we wonder why we struggle. So we need to see Him. We need to know Him as He is. And I pray this summer will be about that. God is not just like us, only bigger. Sometimes people kind of think that. Well, God is probably, he's like us, but like just really smart. He's kind of like a supercomputer. Any attempts of those things are going to be limited to our view, and it starts limiting. It's going to get in the way of our trusting fully like He'd have us to. Because in the end, God is beyond our fully taking in. You can't contain the infinite God in a finite mind and body. But, don't get me wrong, but He says that we can explore and know and grow in it. And as we do, it expands our trust factor, our faith factor. So again, a series to help us grow in knowing Him better. So let me just add these things. Why study the attributes? the character, the nature of God. I want to read something. This is from J.I. Packer. He's a classic book on knowing God. Just going to read a little bit. The answers are pretty well. Why study the attributes of God? He says, quote, "What were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17:3. What is the best thing in life, bringing more joy, delight, and contentment than anything else? The knowledge of God. It's what we're all, it's our greatest need, it's what we're to be about, and it will bring us the most joy and contentment in life. Further on in this particular page, he says this, "Once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord." Not making light of them, but once more you begin to know God and know God at that level, then you start realizing what you have for in Him and what you can bring to bear upon the problems and all. So why study the attributes of God? Here are some things to consider. As you just read, first of all, God tells us if we're going to glory in this, to know Him. And in short, and He talks about all these things, delight Him and all. I guess what I'm saying is we want to know God, not the first thing is to glorify Him. And getting to know God, not just about Him, but getting to know Him and His character, His nature, that itself will glorify Him. It gives Him glory when His people know Him better and better. So that's a good reason right there. A study of the attributes of God is the basis for really enjoying God. And it's the basis for our spiritual growth. Remember, we're talking about experientially knowing these things we're going to be considering. The attributes of God are important because they are foundational to our faith. They're foundational to our hope. These are all reasons why it's important to know these things. A study of the attributes of God, a study that leads into knowing the attributes of God, will increase our worship. We'll be a more worshipful people. The more you got, you'll step back, and spiritually speaking, you will be going, wow. You will worship Him. When I begin to delve into and we just spontaneously begin to worship Him. So it'll deepen, increasing our worship. A study, a knowing of the attributes of God will encourage our prayer lives. Recognizing who we have to go to and what we have in Him and what He's offering and all, it will encourage and deepen our prayer life. The more vast you know God is, the more you're prompt to go to Him with that problem and call upon Him and lean on that attribute or whatever it might be that you're going through. Experientially knowing the attributes of God is good because it gives us a new perspective on life. For lack of a better way to put it, we begin to view life from God's take, and that's always for our good. To be able to step back and see things from God's take on things, that He's always at work, He's always planning. I know just recently in my devotionals, I was going through the story of Joseph, of course, in Genesis there and all, and how Joseph went through all that stuff. But at the end, He's able to say, well, I know how you guys meant it, but God meant it for good. All I'm saying is as we get to know God, the more we know Him, we can bring His perspective to bear upon it. Because then we can see why God says, are they too big for me? Because we can say, the problem's pretty big, or can He really do this? Yes. And the more we know Him, the doubts get removed. You know why it's important to study the attributes of God, know the attributes of God, is it'll keep us from being deceived. Knowing who God really is, really knowing His character, His nature, His attributes, will help us know when someone's trying to deceive us. Like the old thing is, the way you tell a counterfeit is to handle the real. And the more we know Him, really know Him, we won't be duped by counterfeits. We won't be deceived. Because we say, you've heard me use the example before. But if someone said to you, hey, do you know Pastor Dale? Oh, I know Pastor Dale. What's he like? Oh, he's 6'6". He's got long, wavy hair. Super muscular. He lives in Chicago. And at some point you go, that ain't the guy I know. Well, we're not talking about the same one. See, you know, wait a minute, you're trying to deceive me. That's not Baal. Weird example. Point is, people can come for us on our doorstep or somewhere and start to hold forward a God. They go, that's not God. Because I know God, and you're not talking about the God of the Bible. That's not the God I know. So it's important. It helps us have our armor on, not be deceived. And lastly, just for this list right now, a good reason, the interesting thing about knowing God, really experiencing His attributes, knowing God, is it causes you to want to know Him more. The more you know Him, the more you want to know. Remember Paul? Paul said, I want to know Him. And I want to know Him more and more. And I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering and the power of the resurrection. But the idea is, it's like you can't get enough. Again, it'll change our spiritual lives from dry or if it's stagnant or struggling. You get excited again. And you want to know more. I want more of that. I want to know more about Him. You want to swim around some more, so to speak. A.W. Tozer has a classic book called The Knowledge of the Holy. And he said this. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'll say it again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What pops in your mind when you start to think about God? How do you think about Him? He said that's the most important thing in our lives. So I have a question for you. How would you answer someone if they asked you to describe God to them? If someone said to you, matter of fact, I want you to think about that for a moment. I was thinking I was going to maybe even call on some people. That would make you really think about it. I'm even thinking maybe have you write it down, but I guess I won't. Maybe I won't. No, man. But if someone said, describe God to me in a couple of words or a sentence, not a long book, just in a sentence. So right now we're thinking about it. What comes to mind? Okay. Really think about it. Okay, I'm going to describe, this guy wants me to describe God to him. Tozer is suggesting that those first things that come to mind say a whole lot about us. They'll show me if I know Him, how well I know Him, because if I were to take the time and go around here and ask you, oh, I'm tempted. The time being what it is. But you would give me a couple of words, several words, a sentence of, okay, well, if I came down to it, I'd say this. And I suspect what you'd find is, in that statement, you begin to give some attributes of God. You might say, well, God gives us warm, fuzzy feelings. You might do that. But I would hope, instead, since the person wants to know about God and not us, that we probably would go with some attributes of God. And so I ask you this. From where does your description of God come from? If I were to ask you that, and you gave me right now, well, here's what I would say about God, and you gave me a sentence with some words, some attributes, whatever. But let me ask you this. Where did you get those from? Would you only be able to say, I've heard this about Him? I've heard He's like this. I've seen these people talk about Him. I've seen Him work in others' lives. I've heard that He's all-sufficient. See? I've heard that He's faithful. Or could you say, I know this. I know that I know this. He's this. Because I've experienced it. And that's our invitation. That's our goal in this time. That should always be our hunger. And that's what the authors are saying. That's our greatest need. And that's what God would have us to do. To know that we know these things. To know these attributes personally. What attributes would you put? How many would you put? What would get top priority? What? Say, I know this. I'm not saying we would say that we actually believe what one outranks the other. So I mean, just experientially, a pastor that's home with the Lord now that he was a mentor for me, but outside the entrance in the lobby of his church, above the entrance of the church, he had written, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I fall back on that one all the time, the faithfulness of God. In the midst of everything we go through, God, I've learned this, and I'm learning more and more how faithful you are. We'll talk about faithfulness down later this summer. But that's my point. What would you pick and why? Hopefully it's because you've actually experienced it and you know it. And keep growing in that. And get to know all the other ones. So that's why attributes are crucial to know. I was talking with Cassie about this topic. That's an occupational hazard a pastor's wife has to put up with. As I bounce things off her all the time. And she, you know, you always tell when we're preparing for messages. Because we share, we're always sharing things. But we're talking about this area. And let me just say this. Kathy said that when it comes to you ladies that have sat under her teaching, you have been taught the attributes of God a lot. Kathy makes a point to stress the attributes of God a lot. In particular, she likes to stress three attributes of God. I hope this works out. She's going, what did I say to him? What if, you remember what the three you told me? His power. Oh, let's find out if they do. No, good idea. Hang in there, Tim. Time-wise here. Whatever are they?
He's powerful.
What's another one? I'm sorry, what?
Holy.
How are they doing? Go ahead. For me, or loving, she categorized. So, he is holy, pure is the idea. He perfect. He is powerful, and he is loving. But she pointed this out. You need all three. And you need to be aware of all three. Just take a couple of those. Let's say God is all powerful but not loving. Run for the doors. He is loving, so we can know he exercises his power in a loving way. If he's all powerful and all perfect but not loving, we've had it. What if God is all loving but is not powerful? Well, that's mushy and nice, but if he has no power to bring it to bear in our lives, to bring his loving plans and all to fruition in our lives, it's nothing. So I guess what I'm trying to say in a real quick hurry, is this. We need all three of those operating, so to speak, don't we? And they are. He does. And it's really with all the attributes of God. That's the point. All the attributes of God are not at the price of another attribute. They all work in conjunction for our good, for us, is the idea. Always remember that all God is always available to know and grow in. Real quick, Exodus chapter 3. Let's remind ourselves of this, and then we'll have set the table probably enough to embark upon it. Exodus chapter 3. Remind ourselves of this. In Exodus chapter 3, of course, we have that occasion. I'm just trying to really, really quicker boil down. Moses sees the burning bush, goes over to figure out why is the bush burning, what's going on here. He encounters God there. God calls Moses, that he's going to use Moses to go back and deliver God's people out of Egypt. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And that begins the response of Moses. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God responds, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. And this will be a sign to you. When you come out, you'll worship me back here on this mountain and all. Serve me on the mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And then verse 14, that awesome, pivotal, key verse in which God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The awesome proclamation and what we're reading here is that declaration by God that his name is. You just tell them, first he says, hey, I am who I am. And if they ask you, tell them that the I am sent you. So much in that, but for tonight, let me just say this. The idea there is God goes on in Scripture to couple the I am with his attributes. Throughout Scripture, he takes that Jehovah and he puts it with attributes that we might know that he is those things. And really, it's to be thought of the I am as I am the becoming one, is another way to look at that. I am the becoming one, meaning I become these things. He becomes what we need. He is what we need him to be. So in the face of Moses' fears and concerns, when he felt he didn't have what it takes to fulfill God's call, didn't have what it takes to face things in life, the fears and concerns that he has, Lord, I don't have what it takes. God says, I'll be with you. And what does that mean to him and us? He says, it means this, I am what you're going to need. I will be these things. And he always coupled it with his character, his nature, his attributes. We call them the names of God. But they were given not to show off, but to help us understand why his nature and character is so important, because he offers that to us. So it's the same for us. God declares his names, his attributes, so we might know who he is and what we have in him. And as in Moses' case, it's not just for us to head consider, it's for us to heart live and to act upon. Moses, go, and these things will be the case for you. Same for us. Go, live, walk, do the things I'm calling, because these things are going to be operative in the believer's life. Let me add quickly, not all of God's attributes are known through his name. Some are just known in Scripture by description or declaration. Things like his omnipresence, things like that. So we know them by his declaration of his name. Other things are just because Scripture reveals them or teaches us about that attribute of God for us. We, of course, learn some things about God because Jesus declared, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus reveals the Father. We learn attributes about God through Jesus. Interestingly, the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said one thing the Holy Spirit was going to do was take the things of God and declare them to us. So the Word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, his names, it's all operating that we might know the attributes of God. We're out of time. But we're off and running. What we need to know is to know God. Better and better. And the awesome thing is he invites us to. So I pray that as we begin our summer of growing and knowing God better, that we will also experience the joy of knowing him better. Heavenly Father, once again I pray for myself and each one here that as we embark now upon this journey, that it would be a summer of knowing you better, experientially knowing you and growing in you, leaning on you, just diving in and swimming around. And Lord, help us that we might have the joy of it, just that wow factor, as we heart know you better and better. All to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.